Part 3.
Dog, nonsense, but John and Scott.
What do you think of that?
I think that's totally gay.
Type in monkey dick in the Yahoo podcast search, and we come up number one. That's right.
Here's what I'm going to say in retort, in rebuttal.
Yeah, your ass called, and he says, stop sticking cocks in a
sword. In a sword fight.
Sword?
Yeah, I had like a fluid-filled pus ball.
Am I keeping you up? Sorry.
No, I was...
Shut up.
Well, and I couldn't agree with more with Dr.
Tooth Fairy John, Santa Claus, Easter Bunny.
You even pay attention to your own crap.
I listen to my own crap.
I do listen.
You're
not. You just yap, and you don't even listen to it.
I do.
I listen.
So if you're ever looking for our podcast, type in Monkey Dick.
You're listening to Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott.
You know what that means? That's AKC's Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott. I'm John.
I'm Scott.
And this is episode 40. Let me take that out of post. 53, part 3, the heavy metal episode.
The heavy metal episode, John, and we're all about the W all of the time in this episode.
What's wrong with me, man?
God, I don't know.
The sunburn is killing me. And all that Jesus shit is freaking me out. Again, we're playing one of my favorite tunes that I listen to in the car all the time. The Future is a Joke. Submitted by Way of the Bob from his band Imbalance. Now defunct.
And I have to say, your sunburn is getting worse since I've been here.
Oh, my God, dude. It hurts so much. I think I'm going
to
pass
out. You're going to have to call in sick tomorrow.
I called in sick last Monday, did I tell you?
Yeah.
I can't take it, man. These podcasts are killing me. I've called in sick more Mondays because I have these fucking really, really bad sinus headaches when I wake up in the morning. And
allergies?
Yeah, I think so.
It's a joke, John.
It's a joke. The future is a joke. It's a joke. It's a joke.
One
it's
last
joke.
Thing about the Da Vinci Code.
Yeah.
Is while we were, John and I went to the movies together. It was fascinating, fantastic.
And I didn't want to get down on anybody in their spirituality. I think that's cool, you know, if that's what you want to do. But don't advocate laws based on the Bible and based on the Ten Commandments and... Don't strap bombs on yourself in the name of the Lord or Allah or whatever and blow shit up. It's stupid.
Oh, that reminds me. There's an abortion clinic not far from here, and I saw some protesters over the weekend. So we should, if we see them again, we should grab a remote recording and go over and interview them.
Yeah.
one last thing about the Da Vinci Code is... During the movie, before the movie, actually, they show the previews, of course. And there was a preview for they're remaking The Omen.
Right.
which is coming out on 6606.
6606.
Now, what is the Catholic Church's
they're all over
stand
that.
On that? Is that okay?
Yeah, because you're pushing, you're promoting that issue. That
the supervillain.
There is the supervillain
with
the 666 on his head.
Right, who's gonna come and start the Armageddon.
But I hope some scholars come out and say, well, it's really 616.
Yeah, well, then the church come out and say, it's
no,
fictitious,
man,
it's blasphemous. To Satan.
Jesus said it was 666. Actually, that's like 666. Is that part of Revelations?
Mm-hmm.
The book of... Yeah, that would be New Testament.
New Testament, John. Yes. Yeah.
That would be John. That would be me.
All right. So
the book of the New Testament, the New Testament of Revelation.
I'm listening to episode 26 for whatever reason, and I mentioned this before. We were much more happy and upbeat. I think this is when I was still pessimistic, John. I'm sorry, optimistic. Now I've turned into a pessimist. That occurred
your
like in episode 30 something.
Half empty.
But one of the things that I heard was the clip that we always play at a W. When the W talks about where he was when the attacks of 9/11 occurred.
Right.
And the thing about that clip, now go ahead and play that clip.
I used to fly myself, and I said, well, there's one terrible pilot. And I saw an airplane hit the tower.
That's it?
I used to fly myself, and I said, well, there's one terrible pilot.
Yeah.
That's the clip I gave you?
No, that's the clip that I always play.
Oh, or the clip you already played.
What's the clip you gave me?
I gave you...
Bush lie number one?
Yeah.
Is that the one you want
Bush
me to play?
Bush lie number one.
All right.
Well, Jordan, you're not going to believe what state I was in when I heard about the terrorist attack. I was in Florida.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. You hear somebody laugh, and then he says, and you think the state he was in, he might say, of shock, state of shock, but he says Florida. Let's hear that again. And listen to the laugher in the background.
Well, Jordan, you're not going to believe what state I was in when I heard about the terrorist attack. I was in Florida. And my chief of staff,
the
Andy
state
Clark,
I was in, I
was
high.
In a classroom talking about a reading program that works. And
stop the fucking thing now. Pause it.
I was sitting outside the classroom waiting to go in. And I saw an airplane hit the tower of a TV. You know, the TV was obviously on.
Okay, so there's so many things about this goddamn clip. First of all, it's kids asking him questions. And he's trying to be the comedian that he is. And you're not going to believe the state I was in. What state was that? Stupid.
Florida.
Was the state.
Stupid state.
And then... he starts talking about, in the clip, it gets into the clip that we always play, that there's one terrible pilot. And the thing about that clip is that's what always raised my hackles, John.
Yeah.
Is, oh, there's one terrible pilot.
One terrible pilot.
Like, that motherfucker ever flew anything by himself, ever. Do you believe that anybody would let that guy get in a plane and fly it? I mean, they'll put a chimp in a rocket and send him up into space. But that's because they don't know what's going to happen. They're not going to put this guy in a million-dollar, billion-dollar plane and let him fly it. That's not going to happen. So he's going to pass judgment on people who really do fly.
Right.
That's one terrible pilot.
Yeah.
But the thing that caught my attention was, and the other thing that he mentions, let me digress, is that the TV was on, that there was a TV there, and obviously it was on. What school has a TV in the hallway, and why does it obviously have to be on? That's what always irked me about that clip.
Yeah.
And it shows this guy's general stupidity. But the thing that kills me here, the thing that I thought I had this epiphany, this revelation, I thought that I was going to change the face of politics and the face of the truth and democracy and reporting and journalism forever with my insightful... My insightful observation here, John, when the W says, go ahead and play the rest of the clip. I think we already passed it, though.
Well, Jordan, can't believe what state, my chief of staff, Andy Card, well, actually, I was in a classroom talking about a reading program.
That works.
I was sitting outside the classroom waiting to go in, and I saw an airplane hit the tower. The TV was obviously on, and I used to fly myself, and I said, well, there's one terrible pilot. And it said it must have been a horrible accident. But I was whisked off there. I didn't have much time to think about it. I was sitting in the classroom, and Andy Card, my chief of staff, was sitting over here, walked in and said, a second plane has hit the tower. America's under attack.
Okay, so the key phrase here is whatever TV he was watching,
yeah,
he saw... The first plane hit the tower.
Right.
Now, he not only repeated this once, but he said it again. which I have audio for, and he said it again, which I only have a transcript for. So he went on record three different times saying that he saw the plane hit, the first plane hit the tower, which nobody saw on TV
right.
until the day after. So I thought I had this. I thought it was going to be like the Pelican Brief, you know, with Julia Roberts.
No, they showed it the same day. It was about an hour after.
All the news stuff that I researched said it was 12 hours before they got that on TV anywhere.
Really? I watched it like all night when I got home from work.
Are you sure it wasn't September 12th?
I'm pretty positive, yeah. Because I believe some of the stuff that I read on Wikipedia about this said that that it was about an hour after, because one of the questions they had was, how did Bush see it?
Right. And that is my question, John. That is the revelation, the epiphany that I had, but unfortunately it was already covered in 2002. But why hasn't anybody questioned this guy further on this? And here's the two options you have. Either the guy's a total fucking imbecile, a lying idiot. Okay, I can go along with that one. Or he saw the first plane hit the tower, which he was in on it.
Yeah.
So I'm totally for A, that he's a goddamn idiot, lying son of a bitch, monkey chimp.
All right, settle down.
Now B, I can go for B now. Now here's what's happened, John. I've become a conspiracy theorist.
Wow.
That's what's happened.
Well, you know, Penn Jillette, he's got that show, the Bullshit.
Bulls. Hit.
Yeah. And they did this whole, like, nine-minute segment on the 9/11 conspiracy theorists, and they had, like, two or three knuckleheads on there.
Why don't they get us on?
Right.
let's Gmail Penn and say, bring us in instead of these whack jobs and do another 9/11 conspiracy.
Well, there's like a 9/11truth.org organization that actually has some actual scientists that have been asking these questions. Now, they don't sit there and say, we believe this happened. They don't like make their conclusion that this is what they believe, and then they try to find an argument to support it. But they have some sort of intuition as to maybe something's a little different.
Doesn't add up here.
And so they list a bunch of questions and they try to solve those questions. And what I was troubled about with the Bullshit episode was that they did the straw man argument. They put a bunch of knuckleheads up there, and he even advocated that if you see anybody carrying the book of one of these knuckleheads, make sure you push that human being down the stairs. His words exactly, I believe, were...
When did that air?
That aired a couple months ago, I think, or okay. A month ago. And then he also... and then they bring on, like... a fireman, and then like a fireman with some structural engineering background to explain what happened. Yeah, maybe it did actually collapse. And these guys were saying like bombs went off and they set detonators. And then you could use the Occam's razor kind of philosophy and say, okay, what tends to be the easiest explanation tends to be the right one, because it would take a lot of planning for somebody to actually detonate the building so it falls straight down.
Well, now you're not talking about detonating the World Trade Center. You're talking about detonating...
I'm talking about detonating the World Trade Center.
Number seven.
After a couple planes, boom, boom, go through the two trade centers, some theorists, conspiracy theorists, believe that they detonated the building. Because a lot of people, you hear... in interviews say, yeah, it sounded like multiple detonations going off as the building was collapsing.
Okay. Well, here's the problem that I have with that. Now, I'm totally for that. There's four levels of conspiracy that happened or could have happened. I'm for level number three, where the government knew about it, knew of this information, but they didn't do anything about it. They let it happen. So in that instance, I don't see that the World Trade Center was demolition. To me, that's the biggest fairy tale is the Da Vinci Code. But the question that I have is, how many other demolitions has anybody else heard? How many have you heard, John?
What do you mean?
How many demolitions have you heard?
None.
I haven't heard any.
No.
If I'm in a building and I hear something, I'm going to equate it with what? A movie? With what? And I'm going to say that, oh, it heard just like a demolition to me. But if a goddamn building is collapsing floor by floor, that may sound like something is being detonated.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's crap. But I do believe that maybe there is a possibility that this administration knew that something like this was going to happen, and they let it happen.
Well, do you think like...
which ties in with the PNAC, which you talked about.
Right. Do you think our government would ever do something like advocate killing American citizens and blaming it on another country? Or flying drones into a building and then saying that... you know, a bunch of Arabs did it and blame
it on
somebody else.
Well, that's an interesting point. You know, they came out with this video that they just released of the plane hitting the Pentagon. They made it public. But you can see this video on the internets for as long as it has happened. So they came out in public, and then you watch the news reports, and they're like, yeah, this should put all the conspiracy theories to rest.
Right.
Because it's clear here that a jet... And it's not clear at all. I don't see where they get a jet hitting the building at all. I don't see any wreckage, any chairs, any bodies, any pieces, anything of a jet hitting the Pentagon. I don't see it. Somebody tell me where the tail is.
Right. The problem is trying to tie that to why would they allow something like that to happen, or why would it happen?
Right, and that is the problem. And that's the problem we got in with Special Ed when he was trying to explain why. And it didn't make any sense to me.
Well, let me read something to you, okay?
Okay.
You ever hear of Operation Northwoods?
No.
Was a 1962 plan to generate U.S. public support for military action against the Cuban government of Fidel Castro as part of the U.S. government's Operation Mongoose anti-Castro initiative. The plan was not implemented, called for various false flag actions, including simulated or real state-sponsored terrorism, such as hijacked planes on U.S. and Cuban soil. The plan was proposed by senior U.S. Department of Defense leaders, including the highest-ranking members of the U.S. military, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Lyman Lewis Lemonitzer. The suggestions included, and they just kind of run this list, like starting rumors about Cuba by using clandestine radios, staging mock attacks, firebombing and sinking an American ship at the Guantanamo Bay American military base, harassment of civil air attacks on surface shipping and destruction of U.S. military drone aircraft. Here's one that really got to me. Destroying an unmanned drone masquerading as a commercial aircraft supposedly full of college students off on a holiday. This proposal was one that was supported by the Joint Chiefs of Staff.
And this is all documented.
This is documented.
And released,
this was released
to the public.
To the public is a PDF file. It was released sometime, I don't remember exactly when. You could go to Wikipedia and just type in Operations Northwoods or Northwoods, and it'll bring you to that section of information. And then there's a link to the PDF file that you can download. And it's an actual debrief version of the actual memo that was released to the Joint Chiefs of Staff, which includes all this information.
That really peeves me, John. That's the most undemocratic thinking.
Yeah.
And what is the motive? Is the motive to make U.S. a bigger superpower, or is there somebody who needs a contract out of it, and I'm going to get a kickback?
Well, who knows? It could be even like the PNAC. Let's say they have some actual real motives. Their motives are, we got to fix the Middle East. They're all fucked up. They're going to get a nuke. They're going to kill everybody. So what we got to do is we got to take over. But the only way to take over is we got to we gotta allow or stage some sort of terror campaign and blame it on them. That way we'll get the support of the international community as well as the U.S. and a bunch of people will join up for the military and we'll go over and we'll just fuck everybody up and we'll just take over their country and we'll colonize it. And that's this whole democratic process is supposed to be. But according to James Bramford in Body of Secrets, Operation Northwoods, which had the written approval of the chairman and every member of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, called for innocent people to be shot on American streets, for boats carrying refugees fleeing Cuba to be sunk on the high seas, for a wave of violent terrorism to be launched in Washington, D.C., Miami, and elsewhere. People would be framed for the bombings they did not commit. Planes would be hijacked using phony evidence. All of it would be blamed on Castro, thus giving Lemnitzer and his cabal the excuse, as well as the public and international backing they needed to launch their war.
What do they say, John? They say, know your history so that you don't repeat it.
Right.
And the W, he was a history major.
So, but to me, whether it's a conspiracy or not, here's a conspiracy that was proven. And I said before, when is a conspiracy theory no longer a theory?
Well, a failed conspiracy theory, because they didn't do any of this stuff, right?
No.
It was just a thought.
Right.
That they documented.
But it is a conspiracy nonetheless.
Right. It is.
And what did they conclude here? Let's just read this last paragraph. Since its declassification, the document has often been cited as evidence of the historical precedent for a number of claimed contemporary conspiracies relating to government manipulation of public sentiment surrounding foreign policy through violent acts, including the suggestion that the U.S. government was responsible for the September 11, 2001 attacks. Now, I don't think they're so much responsible. I don't think they really had the wherewithal to plan it and put it all together, because Bush was only in office for a year.
I think they just ignored it.
Ignored it, let it happen. I think that's a big possibility.
Big possibility. That's the third level.
And it totally, yeah, definitely. There are four levels. The first one being the official story, a.k.a. the official conspiracy theory. The second would be the incompetence theory. Also, the stupidity, arrogance, Reno Wall theory, or the let it happen on purpose theory, and then there's the made it happen on purpose.
It's either number two or number three. The incompetence has been proven. So that is the easiest one to accept, based on incompetence, because this is the most incompetent administration in the history of the goddamn world, John.
Yeah.
In the world, not just the U.S., the world.
Right.
So that's the easiest one to believe.
No doubt.
But then these other things, and some things just don't add up, and you're like, you know, I can believe number three, that they just let it happen to promote their own agenda, which whatever fucked up agenda that is, that comes out of some fraternity at a college.
What cracks me up is I had this argument with my uncle about... He says, oh, so you think that the president's responsible for... What the fuck are you talking about? Well, obviously, he's never heard of this declassified document, Operation Northwoods.
And or what about the great American... Schmedley Butler.
Absolutely.
What about that?
But that wasn't a government. It was actually a bunch
private
of
corporations.
Private corporations.
So here you have corporations
off.
And government conspiring together. John, that's
no
the difference.
Doubt,
no doubt, John.
Well, look at how many of the Bush regime are been up on all kinds of charges, and a question was posed. You know, they're throwing this smokescreen about the illegal aliens now. This whole smokescreen, like, we need to solve this problem now because something really bad is going to happen. Well, a bunch of these Mexican families that snuck over here that are still illegal, their kids are actually fighting in the war. They're over there in Iraq right now fighting. Guys and girls, and their parents snuck over illegally, and they want to extradite them. I think this is a big smokescreen again. And it's not a big deal.
Well, if it is a smokescreen, I'd rather have this as a smokescreen than the W doing something stupid like nuke the Middle East in Iran or whatever. And the other thing is, the other thing that I haven't followed this immigration thing at all, but all I know is he put he's going to put 6,000 yeah. troops at the border, which doesn't just seem
doesn't
right
add
to
up
me.
Again.
It doesn't add up again. The hell's going on? Is our country going to go under martial law because of the war on terror, and all our civil liberties are going to be stripped, and we're going to start having to wear fucking crosses if we're a Christian, and the Star of David if we're Jewish, and fuchsia shirts if we're gay? What are the rules going to be?
It's already started with collecting the phone numbers.
Right,
it's
right.
Like
it's
collecting
already started.
Those cards in Nazi Germany, and then they tattooed a number on your arm.
And these stupid people in America, because America's goddamn stupid, John. Yeah. First of all, they'll nominate this W. Now they're saying, well, I don't care. They can listen to my phone calls. I have nothing to hide.
I'm not doing nothing wrong.
Yeah, bullshit. Everybody's got something to hide.
Yeah.
Everybody.
It doesn't matter. The whole principle of give me liberty or give me death. That's
right.
It. Give me liberty. That means freedom.
And let me remind you, once you are dead, you don't have any civil liberty to be said anymore.
That's right.
Whatever I just said.
Yeah. Well, you know, Roberto Gonzalez is trying to find ways to put journalists in jail.
Of course he is, because that's how this regime works. First of all, we need to control the media. Once we control the media, then we control the people more easily. And they already control the Fox Network. That's obvious.
Well, the Fox Network, I believe, just does it on their own because Rupert Murdoch is one of them.
So that's goddamn obvious. So now he's going to pressure all the other networks by threatening them to put them in jail.
Here's another thing.
For doing their jobs.
Here's another thing that's cracking me up that's in the news lately. Why the fuck is the FBI looking for Jimmy Hoffa?
I don't know. Why? Who cares?
What the FBI is calling the latest and best chance to solve the Jimmy Hoffa mystery has reportedly come from a federal inmate. The Detroit Free Press reports that a 75-year-old inmate has told investigators Hoffa is buried on a Michigan farm once owned by a Hoffa associate. And what I am wondering is why aren't they looking for Osama bin Laden?
Because they don't care about Osama. Here's what they're looking for, John. They're searching they have all of our phone records because they're looking for links to Osama. They stopped looking for Osama. They're looking for links to Osama because that's why they need the entire database of all the phone calls ever made in the United States.
Well, why don't they just go to Osama's family? The bin Ladens are a huge Saudi family. Why don't they just go there and say, hey, man, have you heard from him lately? Because evidence has shown that he is like, even as the family denied it, that he showed up at family weddings.
Because the W and the bin Ladens are in bed together, John. That's
okay,
why.
Thanks, Scott.
Scott Moore.
You know, speaking of Iran, I ran across this article real quick.
That's funny. Speaking of Iran, I ran across.
Yeah. No,
that's good.
Time.
I like that.
This from Israel. Iran, months from making nukes, Prime Minister says, unilateral action not being considered. Let's see. Iran is only months away from joining the club of nations that can make a nuclear weapon, Israel's Prime Minister said in a recent interview. The technological threshold is very close.
How the hell would he know?
Let's see.
Like Iran gives Israel information.
Well, they have spies too, Scott. Come on.
Yeah.
You don't think they have spies?
In Iran?
Sure.
The Iranians aren't going to be able to tell?
Well, how would they be able to tell? Everybody looks
Arab. I don't
Arab.
Know. Tell
Everybody
me how,
looks Egypt.
Oh, I can't tell. I'm trying to get some information here.
I did. What are you, Bela Lugosi?
Somebody let me in. I want some nuclear information.
Here's the deal. It's all people just jibber jabber, yabba yabba yabba, blah blah blah. I say this, you say that, and then you got the media now who are threatened to go to jail So they're going to spin it their way. It's yeah. all spin, John.
It's all spin.
If you want to not hear the spin, Bill O'Reilly. No spin zone. Okay.
Oh,
and
man.
I think our job moving in to the new millennium, John, is to separate the shit from shinola.
The shit from shinola.
Maybe we should change the name of our podcast, the Shit from Shinola Podcast.
But anyways, going all the way back to Penn Jillette and the whole bullshit and the 9/11 conspiracy and all that.
Mm-hmm.
He's got my money for the one season, but I won't buy anymore because I just fucking... he is just like Michael Moore. I mean, if you're going to say that somebody spins stuff and only edits out what they want to make their show or get their point across.
He did the same thing.
He did the same thing.
Well, why don't you call him on it?
I'm going to.
Let's craft
an
email.
And we don't edit our show, man.
And send it to him.
Ours goes out exactly the way we have it. You could hear all the mistakes, and there's no edits, and there's no take two.
Well, let's get back to the W. There's a story. This came out like a couple of weeks ago. We haven't been able to get to it, but we're going to get to it tonight, John. And let me see if you remember this story. Asked about the highlight and low light of his presidency, Bush offered these thoughtful bookends. On one hand, September 11th. On the other, what would that be, John? What was his low life? I mean, high life.
He caught a fish.
Yeah, he caught a big fish.
I mean,
and no, it wasn't Osama, John.
Know how muscle.
It was a perch.
Stuff.
U.S. President George W. Bush. And you know what the W stands for?
I thought it was a largemouth bass.
Well, that's where the news... Here's where the spin comes in. John. Oh. So we'll get to this stupidity that is the W.
This is recycled,
and then we'll get to the how the press spins it.
Stuff.
George W. Bush. You know what the W is for, John?
Wacko?
Wrong. Told a German newspaper his best moment in more than 5 years in office was catching a big perch in his own lake. You know, I've experienced many great moments, and it's hard to name the best, Bush told Weekly Bild Am Sentag, when asked about his high point since becoming president. I would say the best moment of all was when I caught a 7.5 pound, that would be 3.402 kilos to you UK fans,
right.
Perch in my lake. Okay, so the worst is September 11th. The best is catching a 7.5 yeah. pound fish.
What's now, the W, though, for?
Wrong.
Oh, wrong. Okay. I'm thinking, why did he say wrong? It's an R. R-O-N-G. Wrong.
Okay. So now, just the total, and we've had clips like this before. We just played one. Well, there's one terrible pilot.
Right.
Or when he was talking with Iraq veterans. That lost limbs about losing a battle with the cedar tree. I mean, the stupidity of the guy. And now he's got this other one. What was your best moment? Catching a fucking fish was your best moment? Jesus Christ! It pisses me off.
Christ!
So, here's how the press spins it, John. On one hand, President Bush says his best moment in office was the time he caught a 7.5 largemouth bass, not a perch.
You cannot lead.
Bush gave an offbeat answer. An offbeat? How about fucking saying an idiotic answer? How about saying the stupidest goddamn ass answer I've ever fucking heard? Why don't they put that in the paper, John?
Terrorist
I don't
attack,
know.
Yeah. That's nothing
so
new.
That's how they spin it. And the other W story, this is from Richard Roper.
Richard Roper.
He's a Sun-Times columnist. And he compared cards. What kind of cards are these? Greeting cards. Greeting cards with the Clinton administration and the Bush administration. So with the Clinton administration, shortly after February of 99, you know, after he was acquitted by the Senate for getting a blowjob in the oral, you saw cards like this. Another birthday and you look fantastic, Clinton says on the front of one card. And then the punchline when you open it, hey, have I ever lied to you? For instance, another card. When it comes to celebrating, my position hasn't changed, says the underwear-clad, martini-sipping, Monica-hugging Clinton on another card. The kicker? his favorite position is missionary. Okay, so those are the greeting cards you got with the Clinton. Now in the W, 7 years later with the W. Here's three examples of credit cards? Greeting cards you can get in Chicago. On the cover, a photo of Bush holds up three fingers. The caption, heard you're getting older. Just three words to say about it. Inside, happy birthday. Number two on the cover, Bush in a full flight gear with the caption, happy birthday from the president, commander-in-chief, and leader of the free world. Inside, and you thought you were getting older was the only thing we had to worry about.
Did you ever notice the camel toe he's got going?
Who, the W?
Yeah, when he's wearing a jumpsuit.
No.
He's got the big camel toe.
And the last card on the cover, Bush says, I'm taking time out from education reform to ask you this question. Inside, is you ready for another birthday?
A sphincter says what?
Granted, the jokes are cheap and easy, but they also reflect the shorthand on the Bush. Greeting card companies aren't in the business of making partisan stands, John. Or is that partisan? They're all about making sales.
You know those partisans.
In
99,
you could elicit easy chuckles by tapping into the stereotype of Clinton as a horny dupishicolitz rogue. In 2006, you can elicit easy chuckles and sell greeting cards by tapping into the stereotype of Bush as an incompetent boob. I'll take a horny diplomat over a power-abusing sub-intellectual anytime. Hear, hear, Richard Roper. Let me get the door. God damn it.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Okay, hold on. Almost there. Hey, man, what's happening? Come on. Lockstep it with me.
Here we go. Back to the, you know, of course, I always get back to my mic first. Come on,
hey,
Phil. Hustle up.
Hey, Phil, what's up, man?
How are we doing on time? Let's give Phil a
37.
We're at 37, so he's got 3 minutes to deliver the news.
Gentlemen,
do you think he could do that, Phil? 3 minutes?
I think so.
Well, actually, I'm going to contradict myself and say, no, I can't do it in 3 minutes. But let me get my earphones on, and we'll see how we can pick it from there.
Whenever you're ready, John. Jesus Christ, dude. Relax.
Now, with your award-winning TTN News, Phil McCracken-Whitcomb.
Thank you, John.
You're welcome, Phil.
And our first story tonight, Paul and Heather McCartney to split up. Heather reportedly to be hopping mad. Our next story, John! Mountain lion enters house through dog door, has a tasty kitty snack and a nap. Matthew and Deborah Silverman, who live on the 10th and Forest in North Boulder, a short block away from one of Boulder's busiest streets, Broadway, they had just returned home and saw a figure lying on the ground next to the tree a few feet from their house. When the animal arose and came forward, Matt had a rake and knew this was no ordinary pussy. The cougar had gotten into the house next to the Silvermans through a dog door used by Mugget, the 15-year-old cat. The lion had entered the home, killed and ate poor Mugget, and then ate the dry cat food stored in the house. It left to deposit Maggot's remains outside and to take a nap in the 10-foot-wide space between the two homes. Next story, John. U.S. bans arms sales to Venezuela. Fingers and thumbs still okay. Next story, John. Meet Chinese. Meet pray joke. Me tattoo you with funny Chinese symbol that doesn't mean what you think it does because you a dope.
Like Erica.
She thought it said blood and guts, but it really said blood and intestines. He thought it said rock and roll, but it really said to sway and to roll.
Oh, I thought it said lock and roll.
Rock and roll. The touchy-feely quasi-spiritual trend of getting Asian language tattoos became popular in the 90s for many youngsters. Or for people who wanted to feel young.
Erica's got one on her back.
A tat with a character for peace and truth seemed just the thing, but now that the fad-following hipsters of a decade and a half ago are graduated to jobs and families, they're going to tattoo removal specialists in droves trying to erase an embarrassing reminder of the mistake they made one drunken night so many years ago.
Does anybody hear me?
They were permanently inked with an Asian language word that didn't say quite what they thought it did. Next story, John!
Bush to remove Libya from U.S. list of terrorist nations. Libya reportedly no longer...
Wait a minute, he's got a tattoo too?
Hey, John, that's funny, man. Oh, Phil, come on.
Is it on his ass? Is he going to remove Libya?
Phil's upset. He's throwing shit around again. You know, he talks about it all the time. Well, you know, I bet you there's a certain sense of timing when I deliver the news, and I'm interrupted. But I'm a professional. I'll keep my calm, cool composure, and I will repeat the last story if I can, if I may. Next story, John.
Jordan, you're not going to believe where...
Phil, put your headphones back on. Come on.
Come on.
It's not that bad.
Oh, come on.
He wants to.
Come on.
All right, for you, Scott, I'll put my headphones back on.
Well, Jordan, you're not going to believe.
Next story, John. Bush to remove Libya from U.S. list of terrorist nations. Libya reportedly no longer upset with Doc Brown for stealing their plutonium. Next story, John. Bears chase and eat monkey in front of horrified zoo goers. Tastes like chicken. In an incident Sunday at the Bisky Bergen Safari Park, several sloth bears chased a barbarian monkey into an electric fence where it was stunned. It recovered and fled into a wooden structure where one bear pursued and mauled it to death. The bear then brought the animal to a concrete den where the three bears ate it. The park confirmed the killing in a statement saying, where is this from? There's a safari park. I'm not sure where the story is from.
It was a barbecued monkey?
In an area where sloth, bears, great apes, and barbecue macaques have coexisted peacefully for a long time, the harmony was temporarily disturbed during opening hours on Sunday. Of course, the habitants here in the safari park are arranged in such a way that one animal almost never kills another, but they are and remain wild animals. Next story, John.
Saudi oil minister warns oil producers that prices could plummet. Oil producers immediately implement cost-cutting measures, including only lighting their cigars with $50 bills.
Next story, John!
Commandment number 11. Thou shalt not let beer go to waste.
11th?
That's funny, John. All right, I misspoke, and you take every opportunity to.
I'm just trying to help.
Stick
man.
The forward in my side. Commandment number 11: Thou shalt not let beer go to waste, even as the cops are busting your party. Underage drinkers have been keeping Kilo Land law enforcement busy this weekend. Lincoln Cowher Sherry Jefferson broke up a large party at a farmhouse southwest of Hudson on Friday, ticketing 6 people for underage drinking. The sheriff's department says that more than 100 people were at the party, but most of them scattered when authorities arrived. Deputies arrested the homeowner, David Rosenboom, for allegedly hosting the party where alcohol was served. 2 other people were arrested for obstruction for trying to run off with 2 beer kegs. They didn't get very far. Next story, John.
The homeowner? You can own them now?
Yes, that's right. You can own a hobo. Research finds women with jobs are healthier than their lazy-ass unemployed counterparts. Next story, John. Man bites off own tongue, spits it at cops. Police say he has the right to remain silent. A Brooklyn man with a long history of bloody encounters with the police barricaded his family in his apartment earlier Thursday. Then bit off his tongue and spat it at cops and EMTs as they struggled to take him into custody.
This man already developed a reputation for staging bloody confrontations with cops that often ended with his chopping away at or cutting himself. In 2003, he went so far as to stab himself in the left part of his chest, whack off his left ear, and try to remove a piece of his scalp. The following year, witnesses said, he rammed his head into a wall. Yesterday, he was taken to Brookdale Hospital for medical attention and psychiatric evaluation. Next story, John. Huntington Beach, California wins battle to call itself Surf City. City Council can now begin working on Two Girls for Every Boy initiative. Next story, John.
Two girls for every boy.
Arizona man whose body is 85% covered in tattoos petitions court to let him legally change his name to Scary Guy. The Scary Guy is our kind of guy with 80% of his body covered in tattoos. Earl Kenneth Kaufman recently petitioned an Arizona court to have his name legally changed to the Scary Guy. In February, the judge granted the Tuscadero and a shop owner's application, and the Scary Guy was born. Next story, John. Since their previous boycotts of films such as Life of Brian, Last Temptation of Christ, and Dogma have caused those films to be all but forgotten, the Catholic Church prepares to boycott the Da Vinci Code. Next story, John. Scientists give up for that cure of cancer thing, decide to study why rock bands take so long to get out on stage. Why do rock bands keep audiences waiting? Richard Witz addressed the question recently in Cambridge University's international multidisciplinary academic journal Popular Music. His study is called I'm Waiting for the Band, Protraction and Provocation at Rock Concerts. Here's the numbers, or here's the reasons, John. Can you, I know that you're in a band. Do you have any reasons why the rock band takes so long and keeps audiences waiting? What would be the number one reason?
Because the drummer has to set everything up and...
Number one reason, equipment difficulties, some of them unexpected, others devised to incite the audience. Play a part with finds a simple miscommunication. Account for about half of the long delays. The most common glitch, he reports, is the simple though mysterious failure of the PA system, left or right channel.
What's the commandment 11th again?
But Witt explains, then there is a curious, ill-defined period between the moment the technicians have finished their onstage preparations and the moment the band's arrival. He contends that it seems to be implicitly accepted by management and the audience that there may be a pause of up to 20 minutes following the end of a roadie cabaret. Next story, John. Federal government plans $1 per month tax on telephone numbers. To comply, just talking to your phone. They're listening. Next story, John. Blonde model falls out of a New York bus after mistaking exit door for the bathroom. A supermodel fell out of the coach traveling at 50 miles per hour after mistaking an exit door for the toilet door. It happened as Tatiana Semenovna was returning to her seat from the WC. Instead of opening the door to the passenger area, she pulled open the emergency exit. The 21-year-old blonde was pitched out into the busy road in the middle of New York. The driver reportedly spotted her falling out and pulled over. Miraculously, Miss Simonabada was not hurt by any passing vehicles. Next story, John. British man breaks world ice water swim record by swimming almost a mile in the Norwegian fjord. He reports there is greatly reduced drag when your testicles physically retreat into your body. Next story, John. Alaskan couple names their son James Tiberius Kirk. Like all parents, Marcus Weldy and his wife Rebecca Inns Weldy of Niskinski are hoping their newborn baby will live long and prosper. But they went a step further to ensure their son's future. We decided... we decided to name him... we decided to name him James Tiberius Kirk of Weldy. Said Rebecca in regard to the newest family member who, according to the captain's log, was added to the family fleet at 4:31 a.m. on Friday, April 21st. For those not known to the show, Captains James T. Kirk, played by William Shatner, or do you say Shadon, was the commander of the Starship Enterprise in the 1966 science fiction series Star Trek. Next story, John. Half of all people say they would rather lose a year of life, their marriage, and their ability to have kids, or even a limb or their eyesight, rather than be fat. Nearly half of the people responded to an online survey about obesity said they would rather give up a year of their life than be fat. The study at the Rudd Center for Food Policy and Obesity at Yale University found that some 4,000 respondents also said they would rather walk away from their marriage, give up the possibility of having children, be depressed, and become an alcoholic rather than be obese. 5% they said they'd rather lose a limb than get fat, while 4% said they'd rather be blind than overweight. We were surprised by the sheer number of people who reported that they would be willing to make major sacrifices to avoid obesity, said lead author Marlene Short, associate director of the Rudd Center. It drives home the message that weight bias is powerful and persuasive in our last story tonight, John. A man in Osceola County, Florida, County, Florida, was arrested for being accused of exposing himself in front of his doorway of his home in view of students at a bus stop. Sheriff's deputies in Osceola County received an anonymous call that Curtis Joseph Merrill was spotted without his clothes at his home located at 4148 Villanova Road. The caller said Merrill may have been exposing himself to students at a nearby bus stop. When officers arrived at the Kiss, get this, John. When officers arrived at the Kissimmee View Mobile Home Park, they questioned Merrill about his accusations. Deputies later determined that Merrill may have performed lewd acts as he was taken into custody. Merrill was charged with lewd and lascivious exhibition and exposure of sexual organs when he pulled his cock out and jerked off in front of a bus full of children. And that's the news. I'm Phil McCracken. Wake up with AKC Total Talk Nonsense.
All right. Thanks, Phil. Always a pleasure.
Good night and Godspeed.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Phil.
Take care.
All right, then.
Drive fast. Take chances.
Awesome.
All right. Bye-bye. Fuck you.
Eat me!
What did he say?
I don't know. Tony Blair or something.
Yeah. Tony Blair. Did he make his 3-minute quota?
No.
No. All right. And so we have an extended.
What's going on at Syracuse University and in Madison, Wisconsin?
Oh, hold on now. Wait a minute. Let me give an intro. First of all, we're sorry we're going over again. 53 is going to be an epic episode, yeah. John. Clocking in at almost 3 hours, probably. But yeah. Before we get to this next clip, now you say you're not going to buy Bulls Hit anymore. Are you still gonna
listen? What's that?
Are you still Bulls Hit? Are you still gonna listen to
why do you clap though? What is that?
Penn Radio?
Yeah.
Okay.
Bulls Hit is just bullshit by moving the
Bulls Hit.
Well, what do you do that for?
Why not?
I don't know.
What the hell is... Oh, so anyway, I'm listening to Penn Radio. I don't listen on the radio. I listen on the podcast. And they mentioned Total Talk Nonsense.
No.
Now, they were talking about autism, and they had the amazing Randy on.
Amazing Randy.
Go ahead and play the amazing Randy, because he's going to say Total Talk Nonsense. Go ahead.
Okay.
And I know that what's going on at Syracuse University and in Madison, Wisconsin, and several other centers is total nonsense.
There you go.
What?
There you have it.
I didn't hear it.
Total talk nonsense. Okay, so to the untrained ear, you may not have heard it. So what I did is I slowed it down a little bit so that it's very clear.
This other one here, Penn 2.
It's very clear, yes.
Okay.
It's very clear on this one.
I should play this
one? Yeah, go ahead and play that.
Okay, here we go.
Is total talk nonsense.
Wow!
We were mentioned on Pendulette. Then I started monkeying around with different aspects of the show. And I played this section that we just played. I played it backwards.
Yeah.
And get this shit, man. This is spooky.
This is Penn 3.
Go ahead, play this.
Okay.
Play it. This is...
All right.
I played it backwards.
Here we go.
Shdan, Han, Scott, Lothel, Thelk, Nonsense.
Did you get that, man?
After the Da Vinci Code, man,
John,
that is
and
fucking
Scott
spooky.
Total talk nonsense. Talk.
Sounds like Stephen Hawking.
So that was the amazing Randy mentioning us forwards And then if you play it backwards.
Yeah, here we go. Let's play it again.
Stan, Hannah, Scott, Lothel. Nonsense.
No.
Now I know why they call him the Amazing Randy.
Schnon.
That is outstanding.
How's it Schnon?
Schnon. Schnon.
Schnon.
Scott.
Wouldn't it be Nodge? Schnon. Let's listen to that again.
Schnon.
Schnon. Backwards, it would be Nodge for John.
Nodge.
Schnon.
And Tox.
Schnon. Hannah. Scott.
All right, we got to go.
All okay. Right, no doubt.
Don't forget to email us at ttn at totaltalknonsense.com. Check out the website.
Give us a call.
Give us a call.
www.totaltalknonsense.com.
Don't forget to call us at 847-886-4493. That's 847-TTN-GIZZED, G-I-Z-D.
Nice.
And pass a cell phone around a party. Yeah, we'll play it. We'll play it, whatever you want.
No doubt.
Yeah, we suck up to you, man.
We do.
Okay.
You can tell by John reading every goddamn comment that we get.
We're out. Later.
Later.
Hi, this is AKC's Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott. I'm John.
And I'm Scott.
Let's start a riot!
You motherfuckers! Get off your ass and start a riot!
Go to podriot.com!
Listening to Pod Riot may cause
oily or fatty bowel movements,
increased number of bowel movements,
urgent need and or inability to control bowel movement,
bowel movements that are orange or brown in color,
gas with discharge,
oily discharge,
stomach pain,
irregular menstrual periods.
If you suffer from any of these symptoms, please contact Professor Tom at KinkySexRadio.com.
You're listening to John and Scott
on Total Talk Nonsense.